right, welcome back to another podcast episode, Podcast of Farming Assets. If you've joined us for the first time, fantastic. Welcome. We're excited to have you. If you like the content, give us a thumbs up. Feel free to subscribe and feel free to share us as well. Don't keep a secret and give this podcast a link to other friends, family, and colleagues. Again, this is all for you guys, and feel free not to keep us a secret. Share this episode with everybody you possibly can. All right, welcome back to another episode. It's so excited that you're here and you're joining us and you're spending your valuable time with us. And so thank you so much for doing that. If you enjoy our content, again, give us a thumbs up or subscribe if you're not a subscriber. You know the routine, you know the drill. So today's episode is really going to be focused on an article from the dailymail.com. And it's talking about 401ks. Now, here's the interesting thing about 401ks. There's been a lot of scuttlebutt from previous President Obama in his first term and second term, and also now today. Back then, they were talking about how there should be taxation on, or even like a subsidy tax or kind of a surtax on 401k plans that have too much money. Okay, imagine that. You saved too much money. Well, in 1974, okay, before I continue, disclaimer, this is not investment advice, okay? So I'm just, again, just going through an article, just giving a educational information, don't know you, don't know your situation. This is not educational. I mean, this is not investment advice. This is just educational purposes only. All right. So in 1974, the government passed ERISA, okay? ERISA was based on a California statute that basically allowed a custodian to protect assets that were specifically to retirement. The United States said, hey, wait, time out. We can actually create this. And with unison with the investment and banking industry created ERISA, which said, hey, we don't have to do pensions anymore. Companies don't do pensions. Let's put the responsibility on the worker. And so let's give them an opportunity to start saving money for their own retirement. And so that's what started creating 401ks and IRAs and most of the retirement strategies today, to where you are able to put money in, you get a tax deduction. So the Treasury Department came in and said, hey, we got to create some incentive for people to save for their own retirement. They haven't done it. Now we're asking them to. Let's give them a carrot. Let's give them a tax deduction. And here's, give them a second carrot. Let's stuff their face with carrots. And then let's allow this money to grow tax deferred, meaning they don't pay any taxes on the growth, except for this is when we'll pull the rug out from under them when they hit retirement age and they have to start paying income taxes at that time based on tax rates at that time. And if they decide to take money out sooner, let's penalize them. Let's create like a 10% penalty. Tax and penalty if they take the money out before a particular time. So they created these rules. And so now you have this money going into this account. And what do you do with this money? And this is where the investment companies and the banking industry comes into play, and in the insurance industry. And I call these the financial distributors: banks, investment companies, and insurance companies. Financial distributors, meaning they create investment products for us to put money into, right? Purchase or use, right? Okay. So all of a sudden, now we have to do something with all this money. Where are we going to put it? And that's where they started giving us access to put money into mutual funds. And so Americans were saving for their own retirement, putting money to their retirement accounts. And now we've done everything you've told us to do. You got to save. You're responsible for your retirement. You can't live off of Social Security alone or blah, 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 and all this kind of stuff. Okay. So we've done that. Now, fast forward to now, they're saying, you listened to us and we're going to penalize you. You listened to us so well that you have too much money. And you know what? Quite honestly, you don't deserve that. Even though it was you, the worker, who made the decision to not live on that money, but to take a portion of your paycheck, put it for your future use into a retirement account. You use the rules they gave you, meaning that you got a tax deduction. You use the investments they gave you. And so you were able to grow this. They said they weren't going to tax you. So you use the rules they gave you. And all of a sudden you were able to grow money. And now they're saying, hey, if you have too much money, we may penalize you and we may actually create a surtax. Okay. Now here's what happens. You're retired. You're 67, you're 68, 70, however old you are when you retire, and you can't change it. Can't change it. You're stuck. You don't have time to make a decision. This is why part of what I talk about in my book, Economic Termites, what I feel like is the most detrimental termite is laws and regulations, our politicians, because they make laws. We follow the laws, most of us, but we follow the laws. And then they change things later on because it whether it's the same politicians or different politicians, the time is different. And so they change the rules on us after we followed all their rules. Okay. So that's kind of a quick summary of the current situation. So now why am I bringing all this up? Well, because where there's smoke, there's fire, right? And so economists from the left and right call for 401k tax benefits to be axed to help fund Social Security benefits. So what they're saying is like, hey, what if we didn't give them tax benefits anymore and we actually put that money we charge them taxes and they put that money into Social Security? Okay. So the government has done an inappropriate job of managing and being a steward of Social Security money. And now they want you and I, as taxpayers, to foot this bill by them changing a law that allowed us to have. So what's going to happen to people? They're going to stop saving for the retirement because you took the carrot away. Right? So you take the carrot away, so people aren't going to save for their own retirement. The money's going to now the taxes are going to go into Social Security. And what's going to happen in the next generation? People aren't going to have enough retirement saved up, and they're going to rely on the government for Social Security. Is that the plan? Is that the plan? Economic slavery. Right? You have to rely on the government so much that you've listened to them, you haven't done anything, and you've relied on the government so much to take care of you, and you're stuck. Tax benefits on 401k should be axed in favor of higher Social Security payments, says a report co-written by. No, it shouldn't. Former aide to President Clinton. No, it shouldn't. And here's why. You and I, who make decisions, should not be affected by people who decide not to make the same decision. So, for example, if you choose to be a worker at McDonald's, which is an entry-level job, unless you're a manager or a general manager, or you're in management and you're working with the owner of the franchise and you're basically making a fair wage. But if you're an hourly worker at McDonald's, this is an entry-level job. And you've decided to make that your career and be your full-time pay, that's not my fault. Because you chose to do that rather than go to community college, maybe educate yourself, or go to a trade school to educate yourself for a different type of job and a different type of pay that may be more than that hourly. So now I'm responsible for your decision because you don't have enough money to put to your retirement. And you may have to be relying on Social Security down the road, but yet I've made decisions in my life and made sacrifices in my life to where I can be satisfied with the choices and the decisions I've made, and I've taken care. I'm accountable to myself based on what you and the government have told me to do or suggested. Okay. Alicia Monell, who served as an assistant treasury secretary in 93 to 95, claims retirement pots with tax breaks disproportionately benefit the wealthy. No, they don't. If you know the rules to 401ks, it does not. The rules to 401ks actually have rules, safe harbor rules, that limit the wealthy to be able to fund more than those that can't fund, that make lesser income. Now, if they do maximize funding, if they're a business owner and they maximize funding, they're required to give money to their employees without the employee having to put money into their own account. So this is somebody who doesn't know the rules to ERISA and how these plans are structured and designed based on the Department of Labor, the Treasury Department, and IRS. Okay. Following the rules of ERISA. Okay. This is somebody who's misinformed, but is making decisions or saying things as if they know things. No. She made the claim in the report co-authored by right-leaning economist Andrew Biggs, where they say such benefits have done little to incentivize workers to save more anyways. No, that is not true. That is not true. Again, if they're talking about the lower middle class, lower income that bracket or class that's below lower middle class, then if that's the only people they're talking about, yeah, you're right. You're right. Because at some point, you have to be accountable to your own decisions. You have to be accountable to your own life, not my responsibility. Cutting the perks on 401ks and individual retirement accounts could save the government almost $200 billion today, but it's going to cost them trillions later on when nobody is saving for their own retirement. And I just said this, and they're going to start going, and the Social Security will be their pension. And then guess what's going to happen in two generations? Oh, time out. We got to do ERISA 2.0 and start this whole thing over again. This is the problem with government and people who are quote-unquote experts. They say things without understanding what they're saying. They don't know the bigger picture. They're looking at the here and now, this second, right this second, but they're not looking at the overall outcome of human nature. I'm not going to continue to go on this. I mean, there's more to this, but you get this. I mean, you get the understanding. Well, there's a couple parts here. Traditional defined benefits, retirement plans that are 401ks that are not taxed on their own or their employer contributions are levied as deferred until they can draw the funds. So basically what I said earlier, right? You put money into it, it grows tax deferred until you need it later on. Okay. IRAs, workers saving into an IRA take a tax hit up front. No, they don't, as long as their employer does not have a 401k plan. But when you have states like California that demand an employer to provide a 401k plan for their employees, it actually minimizes the tax benefits and the benefit to the worker because they're putting that the responsibility onus on the owner and not the individual. Okay, so this is a problem. Both plans significantly reduce the amount of workers pay in tax over their lifetime compared, meaning that the growth is deferred. The tax on the growth is deferred. In theory, the perks are intended to boost the nation's retirement savings by incentivizing workers to contribute more. No, not the nation's retirement savings, the individual's retirement savings. Okay. So here's the mistake. Right? This has nothing to do with the United States. We're not trying to build the United States account. We're trying to build the workers. Words are important. Now, if you didn't mean the nation, you meant the citizens, and you use the word citizens. Okay? Maybe this is a Freudian slip. I don't know. But words are important. They're significant. But they come at a cost. According to the estimates by the Treasury, U.S. Treasury, the tax benefits on such plans cost the government between $185 billion and $189 billion in 2020. That means people are following what the government said, save for your retirement. Yeah. If we get a benefit, the government takes a hit. If the government gets a benefit, we take a hit. That's the relationship. That's the partnership. Okay? But these two, Monell and Biggs from the right-leaning American Enterprise Institute, argue that the generous tax benefits had minimum impact on participating rates and retirement plans. Bull. Bull. Okay. Now they look at the average 401k balance, but what's included in this average 401k balance, by the way, there's 75 to 100, there's 86,000 as the average balance. That's the average. Okay. So you're taking workers that are hourly workers that are working McDonald's that have a 401k plan that's provided by the employer, the franchise owner of that McDonald's, in my example, and they're not contributing. How many? So think about it. Think about a McDonald's. How many hourly workers are running a McDonald's or any type of small business like a fast food, right? McDonald's probably has 30 to 40, right? Depending on the shifts, if they have 24 hours or not. Okay. Let's say 50 part-time employees. Hourly employees. They usually have three to four managers, higher income. They may actually have enough money to put into a 401k plan. And then the general manager. So if that franchise owner has multiple locations, they usually have a kind of a general manager. Each location has a manager or two, and then they may have a general manager that manages the rest. But I guarantee you the owner of the franchise is not putting money into a 401k plan. No, his franchise is his 401k plan. That is his investment. Okay, so this is for the workers. So you're looking at 50 part-timers, hourly workers, and maybe five managerial people who actually make the money. So 50 to what is that? That's a ratio that, yeah, there's 50 people who aren't putting money into it. So these averages, I think, are bogus. These are bogus to look at this. The average contribution rate, 6.5. That's pretty darn good. 6% of somebody's paycheck. By the way, what do they take out for Social Security? Pretty close to 6.5. Interesting. Just saying. And then the percentage of savers borrow from the plans, 2.3. That's great. That means people are saving and they're not borrowing from it, meaning that they're putting money into other savings. They're not using their retirement account to save. That's good. I actually see these as good numbers. They're using them as bad numbers because they don't understand the rules. I could keep going. I'm not going to go keep going through this. You can go ahead and have access to the article. You get the point that I'm making. This is the whole point of why I do these episodes, is that we get these articles, we get these experts in certain areas, and they're talking out of their butt. They don't understand the full picture, and they're not looking at the future, what this means. The relationship between government taxpayers and both sides got to give and take. Again, let's end it with this. If the government benefits, the taxpayer doesn't. If the taxpayer benefits, the government doesn't. But we know that relationship going in based on what those are. Okay? That's the relationship. Okay? So thanks for joining us. I appreciate you investing your time with us. Hopefully this was content that you appreciated. Add your comments down below. Good, bad, I don't care. Just give me some comments. Let me see what your thoughts are on this information. Make it a blessed day. Talk to you later. All right, welcome back to another podcast episode, Podcast of Farming Assets. If you've joined us for the first time, fantastic. Welcome. We're excited to have you. If you like the content, give us a thumbs up. Feel free to subscribe and feel free to share us as well. Don't keep a secret and give this podcast a link to other friends, family, and colleagues. Again, this is all for you guys, and feel free not to keep us a secret. Share this episode with everybody you possibly can.